Today is the third Sunday in Lent, and we have a number of announcements. This evening we will have at 6 p.m. benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Tuesday is the Feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's one of the greatest feasts of the Blessed Mother, the day not only that she became the Mother of God and became even more holy, but it is obviously the day that our Lord became a man, so it is the feast honoring the incarnation of our Lord. We will have a solemn Mass at 9 a.m., and then in the evening, Vespers and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. That'll be 6 o'clock. So Tuesday, solemn Mass, 9 a.m., 6 p.m., Vespers and Benediction. Friday, we will continue with our Lenten devotion, Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m., followed by Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, and then confessions as long as there are people who wish to receive the sacrament. Next Sunday is Laetare Sunday, and we will continue with our custom of, rather your custom of having the bake sale. And so it will be in the hall as we did for bake sale in December. So bring your favorite baked goods and desserts, and please remember to price them. So that's next Sunday after Mass. And one clarification, if you may remember when we had the grand opening of the hall last November, I think it was the first Sunday in November, our Father Superior told all of you when the hall would be open, and we just want to remind you to make sure you use it as often as we have it open. So it's obviously open every Sunday after the Mass. We actually open it before the 6:30 Mass in case somebody has to come early to do whatever, drop something off. And we don't lock it until probably well afternoon, so we see if anyone's there. So that's the main time it's open, on Sunday mornings. And then we open it on Sunday evenings before benediction, so you're welcome to go there after benediction on Sundays, after benediction on feast days, like this Tuesday we'll have it open. And then the mornings of feast days, when there's a solemn Mass or high Masses. Now, obviously, the whole point is to use it, and the other reason is a practical reason. This last Friday, there was a lot of incense in this chapel, if you recall. And the only way to have it removed as we turn on fans and see what happens is when the confessions are being heard and then everyone's congregating, which you're welcome to do, but when you're congregating in the conference room, which is fine to socialize, but we have to close the doors and so we can't, there's no air exchange in the chapel, there's no forced air system here. So the best way, and Sundays too, we close everything off because of you are socializing in the conference room. I'm not saying to leave immediately. What I'm saying is it's better to, if you want to chat with your friends and everything, to go over to the hall, and then we can leave the doors open. So if you need to speak in there, it's if you can keep your voices down. If you ever notice, everything's shut, closed tight, especially in the summer, it gets hot in here. And after the Mass, with all these people talking, it's hard for the priest to do the blessings. So just keep walking. Use the hall, and we have it open for you. So, and then we have a few major feasts this week. Obviously, I already mentioned the Feast of the Annunciation, but tomorrow is the Feast of St. Gabriel the Archangel, the angel that appeared to the Blessed Mother and announced to her that she was to be the Mother of God. And there are some theologians who speculate that maybe St. Gabriel was the guardian angel of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or maybe of our Lord himself. Maybe he was the angel that consoled our Lord in the garden when he had the agony in remembering and recalling all of our sins. We don't know. But anyway, that's the feast tomorrow. Thursday, St. John Damascene, and Friday, St. John Capistran. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God, as very dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as become saints, or obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon, and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first." Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breasts that nursed thee." But he said, "Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. During this time of Lent, there are many readings in the Divine Office, the office especially of Matins from the Old Testament. And at this time of the liturgical year, we have, previous weeks, we've heard about Adam and Eve, about Noah, about Abraham, and there's this patriarch which is described in the office, Patriarch Joseph, who was in a way, a prophecy, a predecessor of Saint Joseph. And I believe it's providential that the feast of Saint Joseph comes around this time of the year when the story of Joseph, the great patriarch of the Old Testament, is read by the church, because they are interconnected. In fact, many of the qualities of Joseph the prophet, the patriarch, were in Saint Joseph, because he was in his life a chaste man, even when he was tempted by the wife of the head of the Egyptians. And he was falsely accused, and Saint Joseph himself was criticized by the enemies of our Lord, who thought, who is this man? And they're talking about our Lord. He's just the son of the carpenter, the son of Joseph. He's the carpenter's son. And it was a statement of ridicule. And then also he was the man chosen by God to lead the people, to protect them in times of dire straits, times of famine. And in fact, the Pharaoh said, "Go to Joseph." And that is what the church has adopted, that phrase, for Saint Joseph, our special patron. And he was also known for the great quality of a man who was faithful to his vocation, faithful to the graces of God, because if you know your Old Testament, Joseph was, the patriarch was given many messages in dreams, as was Saint Joseph, the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Sometimes people have asked us, what should I think of dreams that I have? Should I follow them? Should I believe in them? And what the church says is, basically, you should ignore the dreams that you have unless there's some particular message or impression you have, and you're not sure about it, and you can ask the priest about it. Because God does speak to people in dreams, but it's a very unique experience, and it shouldn't be something that people should take upon themselves to interpret or follow. Now we have this very instructive epistle for today that St. Paul wrote for the people of Ephesus. And notice how he calls them very dear children. It shows St. Paul's great love for the people that he had evangelized beforehand. Because, as you know, he went all over this part of the Middle East, hundreds and hundreds of miles. In fact, there are, in most Bibles, you can look in the back and it shows the travels of St. Paul, led by the Holy Ghost to speak of the Word of God, to tell the people about, as it says, the good word. And he says, But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as become saints. Now here's a good message, a reminder for all of us, that being Catholics, being true Christians, being, as we are called today, traditional Catholics that follow the Catholic faith the way it's supposed to be done, we are called to a very high standard, whether we realize it or not. As I was telling our catechism class yesterday, the children in their middle school age, I was telling them, when you are baptized, you get all these benefits, sanctifying grace, you're a child of God. You have the right to heaven. God owes it to you to take you to heaven once you're baptized, if you follow his commandments. But also because you have other obligations. So here during Lent, when we are concerned about our Lenten practices, penances, especially the main three, as you know, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. One very important one is good example. Good example. Not to be a scandal to those around you, whether they are your parents or your children, your brother or your sister, your friends, your fellow employees, your classmates in school, relatives, whoever it is, or total strangers. You have to watch over yourself. Frankly, it's 24 hours a day. He says to us to be vigilant. It means watch out. Anyone who knows that you practice the Catholic faith the way it's supposed to be practiced, when they see you perform a good work, or they see that you, like the women, they see that you come home and you have a veil on your head, or a few weeks ago you come back later in the day and you have the ashes on your forehead, you have signs, you have marks on you that show that you are a follower of Christ. And so what happens is, when they see this and they know what you are doing, or you tell them where you go to church or what you practice, most people respect that. Even the Novus Ordo Catholics. They respect it, or they are intimidated by it, or they're afraid of it, but they do have respect. And see, that is a ground for them to at least respect the church through you, the doctrines of the church. So you are a walking gospel, whether you realize it or not. However, if you do something scandalous or evil, you're a bad example, then those people think, well, they go to the Latin Mass, they are traditional Catholics, but they're doing it, must be okay. They're committing sins of avarice or fornication or bad language or gossip, all these different sins, all the sins listed in the examination of conscience leaflet. And they see it, they listen to you, and then they are turned away from God and what you believe in often because of your bad example. Priests especially are called to be good examples. And on Judgment Day, all of us will be called to make an accounting for what we've done. As we have explained before, every good work and every sin that we've committed will be revealed on Judgment Day. Not on a particular judgment. That day we're all alone. The very moment we are in front of God, after our soul leaves our body, we are judged instantly. And God will take us right to heaven if we have led a holy and perfect life. Or if we are ashamed of some vices we have, or venial sins, or we still have some attachments, God will say, you've earned the right to go to heaven, but you still have to be purified. So you have to go to this place. Most likely it's in under the earth, to be purified, which will cause us great suffering, even though we'll have great joy that we are saved. And then if a soul has the misfortune of being a slave of the world, or a slave of the devil, or a slave of themselves or material things, God will say, depart from me. Enter into the eternal sufferings and condemnation that you deserve. And our Lord speaks about hell and eternal damnation more than any other subject, if you can believe that. No one likes to talk about that, but he does. Now, why would the Savior, loving and merciful, in the words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, one of the persons of the Blessed Trinity, why would they talk about hell? Why would the Holy Trinity want this terrible place to be spoken about more than any other particular subject? And the answer is to warn us, to make us feel afraid, to educate us. The angels had no such benefit. They were created by God and then given this revelation, it is believed, about sanctifying grace being given to a far inferior creature, namely men, mankind. Because Lucifer could not accept the fact that the Son of God would give sanctifying grace not only to them, but to mere mortals. And that the Son of God would become one of these bodily creatures. Lucifer said, I will not serve. And many, many of the other angels followed him. And this all happened in just a moment, because they were able to make a decision instantly who they wanted to serve. It's still a great mystery how God would create these angels in all different levels of ability and knowledge and perfection. And the greatest of them, and many of them, would disobey him. There is a priest who wrote a book that I spoke about in the past about death and judgment, heaven and hell. He describes all the sufferings and terrible punishments of hell, and he says one of the worst is having Lucifer over you and keeping you in prison in hell. Because he says there are such other terrible sufferings, but to have this such evil creature, so to speak, on your back and ridiculing you, that even the other devils hate being under Lucifer. They obey him, but they are afraid of him and they are subject to him. They are his slaves also, willingly. And that is something we don't want to face. That is why St. Paul warns us, these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. Don't associate with evil people. That's just right from the Son of God, Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Do not be around evil people that lead you to do something wrong. How many times people have spoken to us, to me personally, well, they're a friend, or I'm going to try to help them, or I can convert them, or I can go to the church there, the local Catholic parish, and I can help bring them to the Mass here. And a man told me that just a couple of months ago. He loved it here. I said, okay, well, that's good. And I didn't tell him right away, but after a week or so of meetings with him, I said, now you have to stop going to the Novus Ordo and those, because it's bad. You're going to be led astray. They're not teaching you the Catholic faith. Well, I can help them. And he was told, do you really think that you're going to change all those people in that parish just by going there and assisting at those services and participating in them? Well, I don't know. I think I can convince them. I said, no. He even was told the same thing by a Father Superior who he wanted to meet him. And Father said he told him the very same thing. And you know what? That man, he would not listen. And a few weeks later, he stopped coming here. Because he was associating with bad friends. So I warn all of you, whether you are 95 or 5, everywhere in between, any person or anything that's an occasion of sin, we're bound to avoid and have nothing to do with. Because the principle is probably about 95 to 99% of the time, the evil drags down the good. The heretic will drag down the true believer, the Catholic. That's just the way it is. And we see in the gospel, here this man could not speak, and our Lord had mercy on him and cured him, gave him a speech right at the moment. And look at these evil men, the religious leaders. They were so dumbfounded and they didn't know what to say, so they said something completely stupid and insane. He's casting out the devil by the power of the devil. Does that even make sense? That doesn't even make sense. And also, it's a horrible blasphemy that they're saying that our Lord was working by the Lucifer. And our Lord, just knowing their thoughts, he says, it's the finger of God that has the power to cast out the devil. And the finger of God, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And that is how our Lord had power, because, as you know, the Holy Spirit descended upon the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that's how she became the Mother of God on the Feast of the Annunciation. So if there's one Lenten practice, I wish we had more time to talk to you about today's Mass, but we've run out of time. If there's one Lenten penance we can remind you about, is avoid near occasions of sin. Don't be a bad example, especially parents for children, because children copy parents. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's how they learn. And if you teach them good works and good words, then they're going to be good children and they could become saints. And that should be your prayer, that you're a good example, not only this Lent, but for the rest of your lives. May God bless you.